This week's mailbag comes to us from Catherine. Hi, I have a success story to share. A friend is collecting kitchen items to take to folks in Kentucky who have lost everything in the recent floods. Because I had done the 100-day home organization program last fall, which is now the Productive Home Solution, and put a lot of my seldom used kitchen gadgets in a box in our storage area, I knew right where to look. I went through the box and was able to donate a large part of it. Also, in storage, I found some small appliances and dishes we no longer needed. My friend was so happy to receive them, and I feel so good about being able to help those folks feel cared for by others.
Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. So, last week you found out I got an ADHD medical diagnosis of ADHD. So what did we find out from the brief A test that I wanted to take? And the brief is the behavior rating inventory of executive function for adults. So I had Greg, myself, and Stephanie, my chief of staff, fill out the brief A for Barbara Hunter, and she ran a test. Now, when I got my results back, when Barbara was going to share the results with me, I asked her if I could record her reading of my results so that I could share it with you on the podcast. Now, this is my medical information, so I am able to share that with you freely. And Barbara is fine to have been recorded. We did record this as a video because I wanted you to be able to see the results and see the difference between how Greg, myself, and Stephanie rated me. But after doing a little bit more research, I think it's going to break copyright by the makers of this test to show you my results. So we are not going to show you the video. You're just going to have to listen to what the results are. We read what the reports are. Fascinating. So fascinating. And the reason why I am sharing this with you is because I don't think that a diagnosis is as important as what you do with that information. So I personally, over the last lifetime, have been striving to be a person who is more organized and has a higher executive function and is able to have a greater capacity to do things. Over the course of the last 3 years, I have really been working on my stamina. How can I work a full day at the office without ever getting tired? How can I travel and do things the majority of the time that I'm gone and still come back? And yes, I need a nap or some extra sleep when I get back, but jump right into my life back at home and at work without a lot of downtime so that I can do and be more, have a greater impact in the world. So improving my executive function is more important to me than what the label of what my executive function is like. But without further ado, this is Barbara Hunter and I discussing my brief A results for executive function.
Barbara.
Yes.
Tell me about me.
Okay. Well, so what I wanted to tell you, first of all, was that if you were to take this brief to a psychologist, where you would not qualify as having ADHD. But what I think is so informative, as I looked over your profile and you know, it gives you a graph, which I love. It is areas of self-reflection for you now and how you can monitor those behaviors that likely with your diagnosis 20 years ago, these issues were probably much more spiked.
Yes.
But now it's informative because these are the behaviors that are leading, not just for you, but for the people, your informants, the people that you asked that were closest to you. Okay. What was interesting was that your husband, in some of these areas, rated you lower than your coworker. So what that tells me is that in the work environment, some of your ADHD tendencies are supported and you keep them under wraps and control, but they still make an impact on the environment.
Interesting.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So do you want me to read from your profile?
Sure.
Or do you want me to share screen?
Share screen.
Share screen. Okay. I think it's more effective if you share screen because I'm a visual learner. I think you probably are really visual too. So here's your profile. Now this, you can't see the color, the pink color, but this region right here, okay, this is usually a darker pink, okay? So this would be clinically significant up here, all right? So moderate and low.
Okay.
So here is your profile. So inhibit, which is the first one here, inhibit is the ability to resist impulses.
Okay.
Okay. So, I mean, you know, you're in the moderate here. You're not clinically significant, but you have rated it as your profile goes as higher. Okay. So there are some things about you that you feel you probably, you know, ready, fire, aim.
Yeah.
Okay.
All the time. Yep. Yeah. That's me.
Okay. So, you know, imagine 20 years ago, bam, squirrel, yeah. Bam. I like that. Okay. Let's stay with this and let's look at this. I believe is your coworker.
Okay.
Right on target. She's got you nailed as well, right?
Okay.
She sees that. Yeah. And here's Greg's.
Yeah. So I'm definitely a 60.
Okay. And I just want to make sure, yeah, this is your coworker. Because I thought it would be interesting to see you, your coworker, and then Greg. Because he rated you lower on a lot of things. Okay. So that's
he was afraid to give me the test.
Oh my gosh. When I was scoring him, I was like twos, lots of twos. That tells me that I needed to have a talk with him before he pulled this out. Commit, man, commit. Does it happen or doesn't it? Not sometimes. Anyway. Okay. Because you and also, is it Stephanie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Stephanie had far less twos. He had hardly any threes. All right. So, okay, let's move on to shifting. So, you know, shifting is the ability to make transitions, to tolerate change, to problem solve really flexibly. Keep in mind, Lisa, that, you know, on IQ scores, we are all puffed up when we have high scores.
Yeah.
When we're in the 97th percentile. With an ADHD screener, or scale or survey, it's you want low scores. That means you are not impacted. High scores mean you're impacted. Okay. So keep that in mind as well. It's not an achievement to get a high score on the brief. You rated yourself kind of moderate in that, but really not an issue. If we look at Stephanie, she sees, I mean, no issues with shifting. Mm-hmm. She sees you flexible, moving and grooving as you guys roll. And then Greg, same. He sees you as a problem solver.
And so interesting because I rated myself a little bit higher than they do because I know when I'm like, ugh. But then I immediately say to myself, you know what? This is happening anyway. So what's your decision going to be? So I know internally I have that like 5 minutes of like, are you kidding me? And then I go, all right, here's the plan. Whereas all they see is here's the plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know what's happening inside.
Can you reflect back? Is that something that you can think about 20 years ago or so, or let's even say 10 years ago?
10 years ago.
Because you've evolved.
Oh yeah. I thought life was happening to me. Now I know it's happening for me. So what is the silver lining in this? How can this be beneficial? Okay. Then let's go on that path.
Love that.
Totally mindset. Yeah.
Yeah. That is such a positive. That is the attitude that I try to develop in my clients, because they are, my brain is broken. And I'm like, your brain is not broken. You think differently. We can change the way your mind is thinking about things and the processes that you're using that might be maladaptive.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful thing. Next, let's move up to you. Emotional control. You feel like you've, you know, you're not clinically significant at all with emotional control. And both Stephanie and Greg concur. Greg was a little more heightened, but he probably also sees some of your emotionality because he is living with you.
I, 10 years ago, that would have been in the middle. And 20 years ago, that would have been like 100 on your scale. Like I had no emotional control whatsoever. But there was something that happened about 10 years ago where I met with a psychologist in dealing with some family issues that were going on. And they said, look, like you really aren't in control of what's going on. So you need to stop all of this reaction in your inner and outward appearance, because it's not helping your immediate family. Like they're feeding off of your negative energy and everything's just spiraling all the way out of control. So you have to create this outer, like when bad things happen, it's kind of like, if a child falls down, you don't go, oh my gosh. And then they cry. If a child falls down and then you just go and you pick them up, like they're going to cry if they're actually hurt, but if they're not, they're not going to. And the psychologist said that to me. They said, look, you are the second anything happens, you're going to, you know, DEFCON 1 on the whole situation. And so then the whole family is spiraling. And so I had to learn to basically like a nuclear bomb could go off next to me. And like, I wouldn't even go like this. Like I would have, I would show no physical reaction. That took a long time. It felt so weird. Mm-hmm. And then over the course of a year, it kind of worked from the outer way in to where inside I'd be like, okay, this just happened. What do you want your response to be? Instead of just like immediately responding. It took me a long, long, long time to do that. But once I got this under control, my entire family got under control.
Mm, that's powerful.
This one, I could see exactly how I changed that one. This is so cool, Barbara. We could totally change these.
I love this. I really do.
I love this too. Oh my gosh.
Okay. The next area is self-monitoring. Yes. And self-monitoring reflects your awareness of the effect that your behavior has on others. Mm-hmm. Now you are right up there. Okay. As I can only imagine 10 to 15, 20 years ago, what this one might've been, because you were living right here in yourself instead of considering your behavior and how it was affecting others, our conversation we just had, right? About emotional control. It's still an area, though, that I think is worth reflection, because you've rated yourself, you know, right there on that bloody cusp. Mm-hmm. If we look at Stephanie, she's pretty low. She thinks that, you know, you probably are
more together than I am.
Yes. You've got it together.
Good. Keeping up with the shot at work. Great.
But look at Greg.
Greg's like, no, she's not got it together.
Look, you know what? And it's not about, Lisa, it's not about getting it together. It's about your behavior, how your behavior actually.
And that's his highest one.
Affects,
that's his highest one.
Yeah. Affects others.
And I think it's because I'm doing too much. I mean, I would say that one would go down if I would spin less plates, but as soon as I spin less plates, I get bored and I create fires. So it's either spinning plates or creating fires. So I choose to spin plates.
Okay. And so if I'm reflecting on that with you, and we were working together to, you know, this is a high one for home. And so how can I have less of an impact? How can my behavior have less of an impact on Greg and anybody else living in your home? How can I start observing that in myself, right?
Yeah. What are the actions I'm doing that's rating that one higher?
Well, we would want to observe that. I think that is a discussion for another time. Okay. Because I would want you to start looking at your behaviors and how it changes the dynamic of the home. I had an individual tell me that she can be on cloud nine. Something amazing could happen to her. And the minute she walks through the door, her kids are fighting, her husband is, you know, depressed and cranky, and her mood goes way down. Well, her mood is not her behavior is not dictating their, you know, oh, I've made everybody so happy with my great news. Theirs is dictating hers. Their behaviors are dictating hers. So I would switch that around. You know, how do your behaviors dictate or reflect their behaviors?
Just like I did with the emotional control.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Let's press into that in the next.
Yeah. Time. Moving on to initiate. If we go up to yours, initiate, bottom quadrant.
Is this like how you get started on something?
Yes. It reflects your ability to get going, get started, use physical or mental energy for an activity. Okay.
Okay.
And that's generating problem solving, you know, yeah, we got to fix this. Boom. You know, you're, mm-hmm. you don't rate yourself as initiating having any issues at all. Let's look at coworker.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I know exactly why she's rating me that way. It's because there are tasks that I just put off. And it is her job to make sure things get across the finish line. And so she's like, look, that video has got to be done in 1 hour, or that podcast is actually due tomorrow. Like, usually I'm on time, but she is the one that catches everything that is not done yet. And sometimes just remind me. And I'm like, okay, fine, I'll do it. And it's due at noon. And I like do it at 11. So anything that ends up that way on my plate is actually her job to make sure that I get it done. And I always got it done before it was her job to make sure I got it done. But now she knows when I put things off to the last minute.
Yeah.
How so I can see why she would rate that one.
What an important person to have
in your
tribe. Wow.
Yes. That's her job. It's her
Whole job. Yeah.
And either do it for me or make sure it gets done.
Yeah. If you look at this and you want to change your behavior, okay, You could strategize with her about, how can I change around this area so that you would not rate me so high? You know, it could, for example, it could be something like, let's set some false deadlines with some pretty significant accountability, because you're the chief. And if you say, I'm not doing that until Friday, and she says, but we need it on Thursday, that's your false deadline. You know, what is going to be the ramification of you overwriting her all the time?
I will tell you that putting her in place in this position allows me to work right up to the deadline on things, because here's why I do it. I know exactly why I do it. I know exactly the things that are not getting done till the very last deadline. And they are either projects or ideas or things that I'm still mulling over in my head. And I have multiple ways I could either present that in a video or in a podcast or in a presentation to the team. And I haven't really decided which way I want to go yet. And I wait until my energy is right. And I'm like, yes, that's how I want to do it. And here's the story I'm going to tell. And here's how it's going to really impact that audience. And so sometimes those things have to be done right at the last minute. Like if you make it a false deadline, I know when the real one, like, I'm like, I'll just push the whole entire deadline for the whole company. Like you can't make a false deadline for me. Yeah. So I think this one would be the hardest one for me to actually to change or even to want to change, because actually the fact that I have the ability to wait till the last minute to do that, sometimes the best things we ever do in our company come from that, because I'll listen to another podcast or have another conversation or do another interaction that makes me go, nope, this is definitely the way to go. And because we're so innovative in how we are applying organization and productivity to a whole life, work and life like this, your work, your life, your family, and everything like this, I'm in uncharted territory. And so if you force me to make a decision just so that an arbitrary deadline is hit, I would actually rather push the entire project one full quarter back in our company so that I know that the message is right. And so that is, so I'm going to leave it that way. And that is the crux of, like, she's got to be the one who's like, Lisa canceled this whole thing. But that is why I have a chief of staff. That's why I put that position in place. I think it's essential for the kind of work that I'm doing. And I love that it's not impacting at home. So I am cognizant of it. This will be the last one we work on together, probably.
Well, and to that end, Lisa, then how do you support Stephanie in gratitude for hanging in there with you. Yes. Because if this is taking an emotional toll on her in any way, you want to correct that.
Yes. Yeah.
So I love the fact that she keeps you humble, but it's what grooves your company. That's cool. But let's just make sure that we're honoring her emotions in the process. Yes.
That's great. I'll have that conversation with her.
Yeah. And then initiate. Initiate for Greg. Low.
He's like, can you stop working? And I'm like, laundry, dishes, projects, Grayson, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Women at home are just always moving, aren't we?
We are. Okay. So let's go to working memory. I want to move things along here. Working memory. You like got it going on. You're in the lower quadrant. Your working memory feels good. And that's awesome because as women age, that is something that immediately like they're saying, I cannot hold it all together like I used to. And I have to be a list maker. These might be things that you already use to keep yourself, what I call brain dump. That is such an effective tool to brain dump and then organize that list and then prioritize that list and then be true to that list, right?
Yes, that's the Friday workbox, the Sunday basket, the planning days. That is all working memory. Yep.
Absolutely. And then we look at Stephanie. Stephanie would see your cracks a little more.
Yes.
Okay.
It's the amount that we have. We're trying to do at one time. I mean, we could reduce that number by reducing the amount of plates.
Yeah. So it is what it is. And then, Greg also sees that as, you are the queen. The queen of the you've got it together and he appreciates that, I'm sure. So plan and organize is the next. You're in the middle, but still not significant whatsoever. Okay. Middle low. And again, how would you have rated yourself 15 to 20 years ago and look at all of the processes that you've put in place to organize 365 days a year, right?
Yeah. This is all the planning days that I've created because I have always probably stayed this level over my entire life. It is the fact that I've always had this strength high that I've survived this long because I would take the time to plan.
Yes.
I would feel guilty about it. But I would take the time anyway, because it wouldn't work if I didn't. But I always felt guilty about taking the time, even though it was the thing that was saving me. My working memory was worse, but it was held in check because of planning, I think.
Gotcha. Okay. Let's look at Stephanie planning. Okay. She sees it as, no significance whatsoever. You good? And then Greg, low. He thinks that you've got it all together there. And remember, Greg, when you see high marks for Greg, he did not give you, I don't know that he gave you 1-3. He was a 2-er all the way along, right? So he tuned you for these high marks that he gave you. So if he were being like, super, I wouldn't even say critical, just hyper, like really thoughtful about his responses, other areas may have been higher for him, but not plan organized. Next one is task monitoring. And task monitoring is, it just captures the ability to attend to your success or failure on tasks, and then to adjust the strategy or correct work appropriately. I think of that as going out to 10,000 feet. How am I doing? Is it going well? Go back into those weeds and continue, but go out to 10,000 feet. This isn't going well. How do I shift flexibly here, change your way and get back into it? And then back out. How's it going? This is better. Go back into it, right?
And I think I do that. I think that when I don't get enough driving to get onion ring time, that's when I don't get the 10,000 feet out. And then I just get locked in the like doing the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. Mm-hmm. And then I start to lose perspective. I almost need to, I think I reflected that this one was so high for me because I really need that white space time, like walking the dog, which I don't, that's not what I do. I drive to get onion rings, but whatever, like listening to podcasts all day on a Saturday while I do laundry and organizing, like I need that kind of time really built into my week. So that I get out of the day to day and get that big view. And it used to be before the grandbaby came, I would stay late a couple of nights, or I would come in really early a couple of days, and I would work 4 to 6 hours on the weekend without the employees here. And I had days where I would be at the office and no one would need me. That time has gone away because of the grandbaby, and the pace of the company has picked up. So even Monday through Friday, I don't have any white space in my calendar. Even if it's on my calendar, you walk in and an employee gave their resignation, or an employee wants to talk to you, or something broke, or we need a financial thing. So these unexpected things are eating up all that time. And this is the one right now, actually, we're recording this in July, that when we go to the beach, I really have got to figure out, how do I get a significant chunk of time, like a 4 to 6 hour block is what I need, 2 3-hour blocks or a 4 to 6 hour block of time every week. So I could just be like noodling all these thoughts in my head, and I don't have that time anymore. That's why I'm rating that so high for me.
That's interesting.
I know that I'm still doing it, but it's going to break soon because I'm getting it from 3 to 6 a.m. I'm waking up at 3 a.m. That's where I'm getting it. My brain will demand it of me.
Yeah. Okay. So you're stealing from rest.
Yes.
Which you need desperately.
Yes. Right.
Okay. You're stealing from that to manage this.
Do this.
Yeah.
Yep.
And with my clients, sometimes I call what you're talking about squirrel time, like your brain needs squirrel time. If you are so focused all the time on tasks and getting things and using your processes, and, you know, following your lists, and you don't have any of that squirrel time or margin.
Yes.
You're probably going to get stale. Things are going to fall off the plate.
Correct.
So best to give yourself that. That margin and that squirrel time. And it feels good.
I love those onion rings.
Doesn't it feel so good? For me, it's Saturday morning. If I get time to just go wherever my brain takes me.
Right.
Oh, it's so freeing.
Yes.
It's so cathartic. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Love that. So there's some work here. Okay. And you, it sounds like you're on it though, which is good. Which is good. So the next one is, task monitoring. I'm monitoring my task right now. Stephanie doesn't see that as an issue with you. It's, you know, it's just in that middle section, but it's still low. And then task monitoring, you know, that's one that
I Greg think you should look at that as red. Like anything in that section for Greg, you should look at as red.
Well, yeah. Okay, let's go after task monitoring is organization of materials. Look at you. Low, right?
So everything has a place. Is that what that one is for?
Well,
find things.
So it's aspect of organization, the ability to order and organize things, your materials, your environment, maintaining order. I mean, you have so many wonderful processes in place for yourself. What would 20 years look like?
I think that if I did the order of how I go through these, is I always start by decluttering and organizing when I get to a new unorganized time of my life.
Right.
And so this is probably the one I do first. And then I do spend time planning. And then I bucket my working memory. And then I go from there. So if I were to think about all of the times when I've gotten unorganized, it's this organizing of materials comes first, which is your physical space. And then the time to plan and organize, what do I want this to look like, come second. And then the actual bucketing of all of the tasks that I have and deleting what I have that's mental comes third.
Gotcha.
It takes a year each time.
Wow. Yeah. You've got this down though. And one of the areas that I would love to work with you on so that I could be a better coach. So I could coach people, because what is coaching? Coaching is coming beside someone. Okay. I'm going to move down to, organization materials. Again, no clinical significance whatsoever. And then of course, Greg, he sees you for who you are in that area. Okay. So the BRI is your ability to maintain appropriate regulatory control of your behavior and your emotions. Okay. So this score, when I am doing the tallying and when I'm scoring this, this is inhibit, shift, emotional control, and self-monitoring. That's what creates the score. And you add those up to get the raw score. Okay. So yours, those areas, these first 1, 2, 3, 4 over here, they were pretty low anyway, except for self-monitoring. So your BRI is in that midsection and probably in the midsection because of self-monitoring. Okay. So again, when we self-reflect on that and you maybe put some other processes or thoughts in place for that one, then, you know, this might go down in 3 years when you do this again or whenever you, you know, choose to do this again.
Okay.
So BRI for Stephanie, you know, low. Again, the inhibit was high. The others were low in that region.
And we didn't really talk about inhibit, but inhibit is basically like interrupting, talking over people, fidgeting, talking a lot, right? Is that inhibit? Yeah. This is the one where I've worked really hard, like really hard. I don't know if I'll ever get much lower than I have now. Like I'm already restraining myself.
Resist impulse. Okay. Resist impulse. I love that.
You know, Amazon Buy Now really does not help people with this. It's like, why is there another Amazon box? I'm like, I don't know. Saw it on Instagram. It's at my house already. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. So, you know, in interpersonal relationships though, Lisa, one way to think of this is how can I become a better listener?
Yes. I know it's the listener.
Okay. If somebody's talking and you're thinking about what you're going to say, because you
have stopped doing that. That's really hard though. That's really hard. But yes, I have stopped doing that.
You know what? Just as a nugget for you, Lisa, if you talk over somebody or you don't wait till they finish, you might be missing something super important.
I know. Sorry.
No, I'm just saying.
This is definitely a weakness of mine. I know it's a weakness of mine.
Please don't. Let's call it a challenge.
I feel guilty about this one.
Oh, no. Guilt out the window. How can we just be all that we can be? And you have so many amazing qualities. All right. That's something that we're going to work on. How can I be a better listener? I don't know. Anyway, here we go. So Greg, a little higher because Greg sees the inhibit. Okay. And he also saw the self-monitoring that we already talked about. So his was a little higher along with yours. Okay. More in line with yours. The next one, the MI is a metacognitive index. All right. Okay. Metacognitive index. And what is metacognition? Thinking about our thinking is the most simple way. Okay. So it represents your ability to systematically problem solve and plan and organize while you're sustaining these task completion efforts in active working memory. Okay. So again, you're organizing and planning, you're going out to 10,000 feet, you're going back down, you're, you know, changing and shifting. And it's, you're constantly thinking about, for you, probably productivity. But it's that ability to systematically solve problems and plan and shift and go back into the weeds, out back, being very metacognitive as you roll. Okay.
So is it that next five?
It is. It's initiating working memory, planning and organizing. And for you, that task monitoring. Mm-hmm. All right. And then organizing pulls you way back down because you've got so many amazing processes in place for yourself.
Yeah. And those five are what organize, like we have a product or we have a system for all five of those. The first four, I always knew of all these executive functions, the first four are definitely much more internal processing, how you respond to the world. But those initiate working memory, planning, organizing, task monitoring, and organization of materials. Those are the five that I've been focusing on in the last 10 years. And that's where all the products have come from. And that's how my numbers have all come down. That's amazing.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
So cool. It's so cool when science shows me what I've actually already been doing.
Stephanie would rate your MI, okay, a little higher And if we look at that clump, initiate working memory, you know, she sees some of those things as being a little more problematic, not problematic, because they're in the middle section. And she, I think, was really honest. All right.
Yes.
You know, she had higher ones than you had that spike in task monitoring.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But still, you're doing, you know, you're fine. And then Greg, you know, he sees you as being very metacognitive in your processes, which, you know, again, you got it, except for task monitoring, which he spiked a little bit too. Mm-hmm. You know, you are running your home this way, and he sees that. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. And then the last one, the GEC, is the global executive, executive function composite. It's a summary score that incorporates all of the clinical scales of the brief. So everything. All right. And again, this is really good news for you because you're not clinically significant at all in this area. We could really go into this and look at 20 years ago, 10 years ago, and now this is really indicative that you have put so many wonderful processes in place to support your executive functioning.
So what I love about this is that I have actively been doing all of these things, and it definitely is reflective inside of this test, which is what I have always guessed to be true, was that if you got your organization and good systems in place, then the negative effects of your ADHD are not as apparent. That's why when I would go in as a professional organizer and organize clients who were medically diagnosed with ADHD, they then were able to do more because their environment was organized. And the Organized 365 audience, when they start to put these processes and systems in place, get more time, but they also get, they call it mental clarity and peace in order to move forward. It's, I think what we're showing is all of these things are going down. That is why I want to do a medical study on this to see, like, if we take people before they use the systems, and then after, actually, what we're really going to want to look at is this MI score versus the entire, although the entire is important. And then for me personally, I already know that task monitoring is an issue for me in that I need that, you know, pink cloud space. That's what I call it. Pink cloud, at least the thinking time space. And I need a significant amount, like 4 to 10. I really need 10 hours a week of it. I need a lot. I'll take 20, by the way. And then at home, and this is not in the Organized 365 systems, but I do want to work with you on this self-monitoring and how that's impacting my home life is not showing up in work. I almost think it'd be interesting if you had work colleagues, like I have a work colleague and I have my husband that took the score. I wonder if I could take the brief and I could rate it for how I am at work and rate it for how I am at home. Because a lot of times when I was answering those, I was like, well, at home I do this, but at work I do this. So I'm going to give myself a middle score because the average of them are this. Whereas if I was at home, I'd be like, oh, worse, worse, worse. And at work, I'd be like, worse, worse, worse.
Interesting.
And I was constantly struggling between like, well, what environment are we talking about me in right now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you're striving, which I'm, you know, striving is a really, I don't like that word striving because I don't know that it has really positive impact on our lives to strive, strive, strive. But if we are looking for holistic health,
right?
Okay. We want consistency across our environments. And yes, there's going to be spikes at different times because it just is the way life rolls. But how can we get that homeostasis and that consistency so that we would rate ourselves pretty consistent? And if health is what we are looking for, holistic health, don't we want healthy work life as and also healthy home life?
So to that end, how I rated myself in task initiation and working memory as low, and Greg did also, but Stephanie rated me higher, I would say that I have put into place in work the person instead of a physical system that actually helps me live at those lower levels over time. Is just her role to actually keep those down for me. So she is my like living person that comes and reminds me. And I often say that when you're looking to solve an executive functioning weakness, that people are usually the best thing you can put in place, especially at first while you work on finding internal controls. But ultimately, like we can, I always say you can never have perfect executive function. So is it more important for me to find more pink space so my task monitoring comes down and work on my self-monitoring like I did my emotional control to have a better family home life than for me to be able to actually hit a deadline 24 hours earlier? I would say absolutely. I want to work on those two. I put a person in place for the other two.
Yes. And I think that's really healthy thinking too, because you could be constantly beating yourself up and causing more emotional strife within yourself and know that your company is actually suffering because you're trying to work so hard on this yourself internally, whereas you have Stephanie there so that you can go roughshod, you know, and she can just say, okay, time, we got it now.
But I think it was interesting what you said, as long as it's not putting Stephanie in a negative emotional state, or you said, because I wrote it down. Yeah. The emotional toll that it's taking on her, which I know she loves the pace of the company today, but over time, I think that's an area that we can every quarter check in on, be like, okay, you know that you are this part of Lisa's executive function. How's that going? I think I'm just going to add that to our quarterly check-in just to make sure, is there something more I could be doing? And what we're looking at right now is putting in place an administrative assistant for her so she can offload her tasks so that she can still maintain that role, because that's not really something that I need a person for that.
Yeah. And you know, I was just kind of, that triggered a thought in me, and that is giving her that assistant is a reward. Yeah. And what other rewards would she appreciate as compensation? Doesn't always have to be money, but compensation for her role, which may be emotionally, you know, laden at times.
Yes. So, yes.
Yeah.
This was so good. This was so good.
Well, isn't that interesting? So, if I had done the brief A test first with Barbara Hunter, I would have never done the ADHD online test to find out if I did or did not have ADHD. And if you remember from the last episode, most of the questions that were asked to me in the ADHD online test were based on my childhood experience, whereas the brief A that I took with Barbara was based on my life today. So I'm not happy. I'm not happy with, do I or don't I have ADHD? My executive function shows that I don't, but my childhood history from my recollection shows that I do. All right, I want to do a little bit more research. I have reached out to an actual doctor in Cincinnati, got on the wait list, and she's going to be doing some testing, and we are going to definitively find out, do I or do I not have ADHD?